The assisting pastors here, and I'm sharing tonight, obviously, in Pastor Damien's absence. He would have liked to have been here, but still recovering for some treatment, and so just keep him in prayer on that. We fully expect him, Lord willing, to see him next week as well. Since it is the Christmas season, and I had this opportunity, I just felt like the Lord would have us consider a message related to Christmas, and so he pointed me to Luke chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, grab those and turn to Luke chapter 1. There'll be men coming up the aisles right now. If you don't have your Bible, you can grab one of those and follow right along with us and consider the message tonight. And as I mentioned, if you think of it, the celebration of Christ's birth is 9 days away. Some of you went, what? Yes, 9 days away. It's upon us. And I love the fact that the Bible holds so many wonderful and miraculous events which precede the recorded birth of Jesus. And it's my desire tonight just to consider one of those specific events. And so as you have your Bibles, let us begin reading Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. Luke 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. But when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned to them and remained speechless. And so it was, as soon as the days of his service were completed, that he departed to his own house. Now after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked upon me to take away my reproach among people." I love this passage. Again, this is just one of those amazing events that happen before the most amazing event, the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The scripture is full of them. But I wish to begin just to pointing out that at what we just saw here, what we just read from scripture is a miracle. This woman was barren. She had no children. And God caused it to be so, miraculously, so that she could bear a son. For Zacharias and Elizabeth, we're told they had no children. Further still, we are told that Elizabeth is barren and that both were well advanced in years. Well, that's a nice biblical way of saying they're very old, and I appreciate that. But nonetheless, as we see by the word of the Lord from the messenger Gabriel, they would have a son and they would most certainly call him John. And John would be set apart in the service to the Lord for the children of Israel. Now, we learn from this passage that Zacharias and Elizabeth, in their current state, I believe that it's amazing to look at them and examine them in that sense, because I think they're a microcosm of the entire nation of Israel to some significant extent. How so, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. In this passage, we find Zacharias and Elizabeth faithfully and patiently going about their lives and their calling, yet lacking in a very significant way. Wanting, desiring something of the Lord. They were barren, we know. And certainly they had done all that they could to have a child. There was no indication that they had given up or did not wish to have a child, even in their later years. The text is crystal clear later, as we saw, how they had prayed in earnest for a child. Verse 13 leaves us no doubt that there was prayer involved in this whole process of desiring a child. And we'll consider that a little bit later. Hold that thought. Now, as we consider this couple, as we look upon them, we see that despite being barren, they remained faithful in serving the Lord their God, and I dare say they remained hopeful for a child as well. In this, I think they are very much like the state of the children of Israel at this time in history. Israel was barren of the prophetic word of God. Heaven had seemed silent to them. It had been over 400 years since the Lord God had spoken through his prophets regarding Messiah to come, who would come and save his people. And I'm certain many of the people still held that great expectancy of Messiah to come. They desired him to come, the Holy One of Israel, who would come for his people as the prophets had told them, the one who would preach good tidings to the poor, He who would heal the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives. He who would open the prison gates to those who are bound. He who would proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. He who would comfort all who mourn and console all who mourn in Zion. He will give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. This was the expectation of the children of Israel, an expectation not yet realized. And not having yet received these things, they were very much in a barren condition, I believe. Their state, I think, was captured so well in the carol that we now sing over and over at this time of the year, and I love it. The words, almost haunting in a way, in the tune, intentionally haunting as well. We hear that those words, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. It just gives a sense of their desire for him to come, the bondage that they feel without Messiah. And to this point in time, they had not realized their hope of Messiah, and it seemed all heaven was silent to them. They longed for the prophetic word of God again, encouraging them toward Messiah. They longed for the barrenness to be over. They longed for this, I believe, as Zechariah and Elizabeth longed for a child. So in the days of our passage of Scripture here, to be without a child is perceived by many as a curse. Something was wrong with you if you were barren. You know, something, you had done something wrong in many's thought and thinking. There was a negative stigma that would be have attached to Elizabeth, not rightly so, but I believe wrongly so, and a reproach upon them. And that would reflect upon Zacharias as well. Later, at the end of our passage, we saw that verse 25 informs us that there was indeed a reproach which Elizabeth felt. She said she felt the removal of it at that point, but she did indeed feel a reproach of her barrenness among some people. But God broke through. He broke through all of that. The word of the Lord came to Zacharias and Elizabeth, and they would be barren no more. They would have a son. And by this son born unto them, the Lord would break the silence of heaven for his people once again too, and come again to barren Israel through the prophetic message of this boy born unto Zacharias and Elizabeth. The time of being barren has come to an end. The times of reproach would be over, and the end of it came with this pre-Christmas miracle. And it culminated in the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the birth which we celebrate in this time of year. This passage makes me wonder and makes me think, as the Lord brought me with attention to it, that it's very possible that there may be many of my good brothers and sisters here tonight. Here we are, fully in the Christmas season, soon to celebrate His birth. There's an expectation of joy, isn't there? And it's not just about the presents, is it? I mean, the family, there's a lot of great activity that goes about it. Even so, it's very possible that there may be an area in your life, there may be a situation where you may feel and realize a very barren portion in your heart. Are times of being barren upon you? Have you felt the reproach? Is there a disturbing dryness in your life? Maybe to your marriage, maybe to your personal walk with the Lord. Even in this Christmas time, things can be difficult. And people don't even see it or don't want to recognize it, but there's a harshness there. Well, the answer to being barren in this world and feeling the full weight of the reproach of that barrenness, the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Holy One of Israel. The way to understand and hear and know the Lord Jesus Christ is through the prophetic word God has given us. This is how we know Him. And it's not necessarily a word which comes from an angel. I can just tell you by experience, and you're probably not going to get a visit from Angel Gabriel. I don't know if you were hoping for that this year, but it's probably not going to happen. But we've been given, and we don't need that visit, we've been given God's word as it pertains to all life and godliness. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh, and it is by Him and through Him that God speaks to us today. I love that passage in Hebrews. It says it so well to begin the letter. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. Jesus Christ, the gift of heaven, He is the answer to my being barren. And what we celebrate in the birth of Jesus in this season is certainly our Savior. We also celebrate the given Word of God to us in Christ Jesus. Now, sadly, in our times of being barren, we can forget the simplicity of what God has done for us in Christ. That can be a tendency. Sometimes we look for something or anything beyond what has been perfectly given to us in the perfect Word of God. We listen to the world's wisdom over the wisdom that is from above. We neglect the greatest revelation given to us by God Himself, by our good Father. Such revelation, it brings an end to being barren. Such revelation is that which upon we base our very faith. It is the revelation upon which we stand. It's the prophetic word of God. Peter stood on a mountain with James and John as Jesus conversed with Moses and Elijah, and the Father spoke from above. He had that experience. It was amazing. He saw the glory of God. But his faith was firmly based on the prophetic word of God, not those experiences. He wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, "We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came from Him, from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I say this to support the premise today that it is the Word of God which speaks entirely of Jesus as the answer for our barren situations. Now, I've done something in these first moments here that most instructors, they would object to. I've given the conclusion to the dilemma, the ultimate conclusion to the dilemma of being barren on the outset, almost immediately. It's traditional to build a lesson and to the conclusion and then present the conclusion. But let me ask you this. Have I said anything in my observations of the Word of God and of Jesus in barren times which you have not heard before? Have I said anything new about the Word of God? Am I not simply just another pastor telling you God's Word as revealed by Jesus Christ is the answer? Yes, but it is absolutely true. It is absolutely true. So then, I guess we're done. We can bring the worship team up here. I'm just kidding. We're not done. Hold on there. No. I think we'd miss so much in this passage if we stopped right there. But I wanted to bring you to the ultimate conclusion and then develop that. And then we'll see it all points back to Jesus once again. From this passage, and in this passage, it holds some beautiful truths for us as to what to do in this world in the meantime, when we are asking and seeking and knocking for the door of God's Word to be open to us and to our understanding, when we're waiting to see Jesus in our time of barrenness. We know He's the answer. What can we do by example of these two precious people while we're waiting in these times of barrenness? What do we do in the midst of it? Well, let's direct our eyes again to the written Word of God. The Holy Spirit has caused to be recorded for eternity here. Let's consider Zacharias and Elizabeth in verse 5. Notice with me, we are provided an important pedigree of these two. We see that, that Zacharias, he was of the division of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So some simple facts here. Zacharias was a priest of the division of Abijah. Zacharias means the Lord remembers. Elizabeth was among the daughters of Aaron in the priestly line herself. Elizabeth means an oath of God. Now, if you, like some people to do, if you like to put those two together, you'll have an amazing sentence, and either way works. So I'll let you formulate that in mind. The Lord remembers an oath of God, or an oath of God, the Lord remembers. I think both of them work. So this is the couple together whom we consider. And this is who they are in their barren condition. So what did they do? Notice again in verse 6 carefully, we start to see some very particular things about them. I think they're interesting. I think they're helpful. In this season of being barren, first of all, we see in verse 6, they remain righteous. They remain righteous before God. And they were righteous before God, verse 6, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. So what does that look like today? How do we remain righteous in barren times? Well, I think it's imperative to know that we have no righteousness in and of ourselves. There's no rightness in me, in and of myself. Our righteousness comes only as the result of the indwelling person of Jesus Christ in our hearts, made possible by His complete work on the cross, by His death, by His burial, by His resurrection on the third day. By faith in Jesus Christ, then, we are considered righteous in the eyes of God. I particularly favor that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 about how not only are we reconciled to God, we are made righteous by Him as well through Jesus Christ. You may be familiar with the verse. It is 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, He, that is God, made Him, that is Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. God made Jesus to be sin for us so that we could become the righteousness of God in Him. I'm able to be righteous before God like Zacharias and Elizabeth because of who Jesus is and what he has done and what he continues to do as based on my faith upon him. So here's our first conclusion as what to do about being barren in that barren time. You and I can remain righteous before God by faith in Jesus Christ, even in the most barren times. It is the person and the power of Jesus Christ in us which provides that way through being barren. Notice again in verse 6, in their season of difficulty, in their season of being barren, Zacharias and Elizabeth walked in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord. Now this is evident in the fact we see Zacharias carrying about his priestly duty. He's going to work. He's doing his job. He's answering his calling. He knew and obeyed the commandments of the Lord when the Lord had yet not still removed their reproach. Now, this may be one of the more difficult aspects of what to do during times of dryness and barrenness. I know it is for me personally. Because everything about us wants to push back against that. It's just too hard. It's just too barren. It's just too dry. Our sinful flesh tells us to walk away from God and his commands, not to walk in them. But we can become greatly discouraged in dry times. We can be prone to say, you know, it's just I gotta do this thing. I know what God says. I know what his word clearly says, but I'm gonna do this anyway. I'm going to do how and walk how I see fit. Now, by experience, all of us would probably say amen to that's a recipe for disaster. Anybody say amen to that? Okay, all of you. I think we all can say that. Where we determine to set aside God's word and to walk in our own wisdom, and that's never going to work out for us. I speak, sadly, to far too many people who when difficulty and dryness comes into their Christian walk, they too easily abandon God's word or they don't even consider it. And that's exactly the wrong thing to do. As we see by example of these two precious souls recorded in the word of God for eternity, they weren't perfect, but they walked in the commandments and the ordinance of God in their difficulty. When we refuse to do that, we put the most powerful, the most and complete means for God to communicate and direct us and encourage us. When we refuse to do that, we put it on the shelf, or literally put it in the drawer. If we are barren, we need to walk in God's word and his way. So if that's the case, dust that Bible off, pull it out of the drawer, and ask the Holy Spirit of God to reveal Jesus to you from those pages. That is his plan. That is his desire. I love the way the psalmists say it. They say it so well, don't they? In Psalm 18, we read, "For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God, I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him." And in the 19th Psalm as well, the psalmist writes, The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the law is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. This gives us our second conclusion regarding God's word and about being barren. The conclusion is to determine, while in that time of being barren, I want to determine and to know and to walk in all of God's word and all of God's way. Notice once more from verse 6, Zacharias and Elizabeth were blameless in their barrenness. Again, not perfect, not sinless, but they were blameless. No one could look upon their lives and blame them for not being exactly who they were and what the Lord had called them to be. Consider that for a moment. That is not just a small statement. Who could have faulted them if they became angry and maybe a little bitter at God for not giving them a child? That would have been somewhat expected. Zacharias was a priest. Elizabeth, the daughter of a priest. Doesn't these sort of people, don't they deserve a child? Some may have thought they had every right to be bitter at God in their secular way of reasoning, but they were not. And they knew they had no right to be bitter of God, and they were not. And they remained blameless in all of these things. And so here's our third conclusion from this passage about what to do in a barren time. Determined to be and remain blameless in the eyes of God and others by the power of the Holy Spirit and the truth of God's Word. Now, these are just three conclusions taken from one verse. Each verse has 16 points each to them, so we've just begun. I'm just kidding. No, those are the three highlighted there, but there's something even that covers the whole span of this section, something happening that can be easily overlooked, something overreaching. Notice with me in verse 8 what's happening there. So it was, while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of his priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. What was Zacharias doing in the midst of his barren life with his beautiful wife, Elizabeth? What was he doing? He continued to serve, didn't he? He simply continued to serve. He went in every day. He made himself available. It just so happened that his division, he drew the lot where he would go in and burn incense, and he would go in the holy place and burn incense at the altar there. And like Zacharias, we must determine by the Spirit of Christ and push back that temptation and tendency in times of brackish dryness to stop serving in the manner that God has gifted us. We need to continue to serve in times of dryness, in times of barrenness as well. After all, from the Scripture, what do we see? Where did the angel Gabriel appear to Zacharias about Elizabeth having a baby boy? He appeared to him in the temple, in the holy place, during his service. Look with me at verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense, known to be the site of favor. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Conclusion number 4. Do not suspend your service as the Lord has called you because of a brackish, barren time in your life. Continue to serve Him in the power of the Holy Spirit and being led by God's Word with a determination to please Him and to be pleasing to the calling that He's laid upon your life. Continue to serve Him and serve others as well. I've heard it said, and I believe it's true, there's nothing better to do in times of difficulty in your life when we can become so focused on ourselves than to serve someone else, to look beyond our own situation and our own trials as they did here, their barrenness, and serve someone else. Something else we must come back to, I mentioned earlier. Earlier, we spoke of that prayer of Zacharias being heard. Look with me at verse 13 once again. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayer is heard." Like Zacharias and Elizabeth, we must keep praying when times are barren. We must keep praying. We must not stop. It's interesting to note the words of the angel. We know him to be Gabriel, as he identified himself later. I love the way he just specifically says things. It's not a mistake. He said, "Your prayer is heard." I believe it suggests that Zacharias, like many of us, or can be the tendency in times of barrenness, maybe Zacharias at one point wonders if God is actually hearing these prayers that I'm sending up to Him. Has anybody ever been there? Have you ever, okay, I see that hand. Yes, 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 I see that hand, yes. Yeah, we get to that place like, Lord, are you even hearing these prayers? I know you see my situation. I know you know the difficulty of it. And I believe you. I trust you. I know you're working all this together for good for those who are called and loved you and are called according to your purpose. I know you're doing all of that. I know you have a plan. I know the difficulty has a purpose. I know it's doing something. I know it's not meaningless. You're working something out in all of it. And I'm going to keep praying. But are you hearing my prayers? You know, I think of the fiddle on the roof. I love the main character. His name just went out of my head as soon as I said that. Who is it? Tevye. Tevye. How he would stop at any given moment during. Has everybody seen Fiddler on the Roof? Young people, so you need to watch everybody. You need to watch Fiddler on the Roof. That's an assignment. He stops at any given moment, and he looks up, and you know, he just prays to the Lord as if, like, "Are you really hearing my prayers?" And all these things that come to him. And I think sometimes, you know, we think that maybe Zacharias, you know, he had a Tevye moment where he said, "Lord, are you hearing my prayers?" So specifically, Gabriel said, "Your prayer is heard." I want to encourage you. I'm being silly about Tevye, but yeah, some degree. God hears our prayers in barren times, doesn't he? He does. He hears our prayer in barren times. I would encourage you to keep praying. Never stop praying. He hears those prayers. Now, the next portion of our passage, it provides us something very encouraging. It provides us an example of an amazing result of this hope and prayer and continuance and remaining faithful to the Lord, serving Him, doing all these things. It gives us an amazing result, I believe. It contains, and then after that we see one last instruction of what not to do in barren times. But notice in the remainder of verse 13 and on, where we're seeing that conversation between Zacharias the angel Gabriel, and we learn that Elizabeth will be barren no more, that God would indeed give them a son, and they will call this son's name John. Now, I point this out for what we see regarding who will be this amazing boy, John, and what will be and do, and how I believe there's a glimpse for us as a result of us remaining faithful in barren times. Again, he now becomes a microcosm for us. Verse 14, what do we see there? Verse 14 promises joy and gladness at John's birth. I believe joy and gladness is a proper is a result in the end of our barren times, is it not? Isn't that a time to rejoice when that dryness has gone, when the Lord has answered a prayer? And it's over. That brings joy. That brings a time of rejoicing as well. Notice verse 15, how it speaks of how John will be, he'll be set aside. He'll be sanctified for God and his purpose. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. I believe God's design for us in those post-barren times is he's working to set us apart for his purposes. Have you ever had that happen in your life? I would venture to say many of you had. If you're seeking the Lord, if you're following him, he wants something to happen in your life. And so he can allow that time of dryness, a barren time, if you will. A lot of the times in my own personal life, I can only speak for me. I won't share anybody else's words here, but I can only speak for myself that the Lord has used that to get my attention. Things become very dry. I said, Lord, what's happening? What are you doing? You know, how are you leading? What am I missing? That's usually the case. What am I missing? What are you trying to communicate to me, Lord? What is your purpose? And what he's doing is he is indeed trying to communicate that. Inevitably, I'll hear something from God's word or from this pulpit that will encourage me about that situation as our pastor faithfully teaches the word. And I'll realize that God is actually wanting me to set me apart for whatever purpose, for whatever time to give Him glory and to bring an end to those times of barrenness. Also in verse 15, post-barren times, they can give way to a fresh filling and empowering of the Holy Spirit by example of John. Now, there's no doubt, as we know of his history and we read of his ministry, he was full of the Holy Spirit indeed, and he went forth that way. Verse 16 suggests a significant ability also to testify of Jesus Christ to us, as John did in post-barren times. Look with me at verse 16. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He's going to preach, and he did preach. He preached repentance and preparing the way for the Lord. And that was his ministry. I believe there is a correlation for us as well. These things, these results available to us in our post-barren times, as God has brought us through those, as we've remained faithful, we can look for joy and gladness. We can allow Him to set us aside, to sanctify us. We can have that fresh filling and empowering of the Holy Spirit, and we can have a renewed testimony for Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ in this world. Now, I want to make another observation. It may not be the last one, it may be, I don't know. But an observation from this pre-Christmas miracle. And it comes in the negative. And now what we don't want to do is what we see one of the things that Zacharias does. He gets it almost right. He gets like a 95 on this test. He had almost everything right except the one very important part. What we don't want to do in our barren times, upon hearing the clear and specific word of God regarding our lives, what we don't want to do is doubt that word. We don't want to doubt that word. It seems Zacharias, he missed the magnitude of the message in verse 17. What is verse 17 communicating to him about his son? He will also go before him. Who's the him? That's Jesus. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Maybe Zacharias was still a little bit put off by this angel standing in front of him. I don't know, but he's missing the message of who his son would be and what he would do. And what he did is he doubted the message from God. Verse 18, and Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." I love the deference he gives to his wife. He didn't call her an old woman. Anyway, just an observation. But he's doubting what the angel is telling him. He doubted the message from heaven given by Gabriel. And for this, he's struck with dumbness. He could not speak, and he would not speak. And I love it, and I favor a quote from William MacDonald regarding this whole situation. He wrote, before he went home to heaven, he wrote, "Whenever a believer entertains doubts concerning God's word, he loses his testimony and his song. Unbelief seals the lips, and they remain sealed until faith returns and bursts forth in praise and witness." If you're unaware, by the way, regarding Zacharias and his ability to speak again, I want to refer to the same chapter, verse 59 of this in Luke 1. Let's go there because it's important to see what happened, the rest of the story, if you will, for Zacharias. Verse 59, "So it was on the eighth day after John was born that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father, Zacharias. But his mother answered and said, 'No, he shall be called John.' But they said to her, 'There is no one among your relative who is called by his name.' So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, 'His name is John.' So they marveled. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke, praising God." That's a good thing to do when you first speak again. "Praising God. Then fear came on all who dwelt around them, and all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, "What kind of a child will this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. If you're when you're in that place, when you hear that word from the Lord, don't doubt it. When it comes to you, receive it, believe it, and just to be reminded by the negative example of Zacharias. Now, it still came true. He was the one who it was struck dumb. He was the one who suffered, so to say, from not believing the word of God. The word of God is perfect, and the word of God is true. There's no reason to doubt it. Notice how, one more observation, how in verse 24, how it records that the prophetic word of God is confirmed. The prophetic word of God is confirmed as Elizabeth, what happens to Elizabeth? She becomes pregnant. And it is no less than a pre-Christmas miracle. So a question for us as we consider what has happened here, the things that we can do or should not do in that time of being barrenness. Has this Christmas season been barren for you? Is the Lord communicating something to you by example of Zacharias and Elizabeth? Know this, God is with you as a follower of Jesus. He is for you. He loves you. He has put His Spirit in you as His son and His daughter. He is greatly interested in your situation. He has designed and desired to take away your reproach in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ the Lord. And there is so much we can do and be doing because of the prophetic word of God, which all speaks of Jesus as the answer to our times of being barren. Again, just from the scripture, we can do this. We can be righteous before God. We can determine to know and then walk in God's word and God's way. We can be blameless. We can continue to serve the Lord. We can keep praying. And we can absolutely keep doubt out of our heart when God's word is revealed to us. All this is possible for us in barren times by Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because as it's possible, but because I like the way the Apostle Paul, he put it so well to the Galatians. Because when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir through God. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward and just lead us in a couple of songs, reflective songs, just whatever the Lord's put on your heart, a time to reflect what He's spoken to you. Let's stand together now, and we'll pray, and then we'll let them lead us in a couple of songs, and then I'll close out the service. Lord, we do thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for what we can see there, what we can know there. And Lord, and not just leave it right there on the page. We thank You, Lord, that You've given us the ability by the power of Your Holy Spirit within us to receive these things, acknowledge them, and determine in our heart to be these things, to honor You in all of this. Lord, we know that You have a purpose in barren times. And I pray for all those here tonight who are in that place, likely unbeknownst to anyone around them, but they're struggling in a very difficult, dry period, a very difficult, barren time, Lord. And Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would, by the truth of Your word, that would just wash over them and bring them comfort and truth, that this would be an encouragement to all of us tonight, that it would be a place where it would give us a great anticipation for the season that we celebrate, the season of Christmas. Lord, I pray that you would do this for your glory as we rejoice in you and the birth of our Savior. And in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.